You're now in the huddle with Coach Calls Timeout, the podcast that dissects the mind of a different basketball coach every episode. We uncover what makes them successful and how their story translates to your coaching journey. Let's unlock your team's potential together. Welcome to episode 11 of the Coach Calls Timeout podcast. Dan Jonker here. I want to tell you about Coach Calls Timeout. It's a basketball coaching resource started by myself and my two brothers, Brian and Brady. We're looking to help basketball coaches gain experience and knowledge without even being in the gym. Our website has plays, drills, articles, this podcast, and a coaching forum where you can connect with coaches and share experiences. Go to coachcallstimeout.com, surf around, check it out, let us know what you think. As a listener of this podcast, you can now receive a free 7-day trial to sample our membership area. To take advantage of the free trial, just go to coachcallstimeout.com, click join now, and use the coupon code PODCAST. Today's episode is the fourth installment of a 7-part series called The Basketball Coaching Roadmap, where we explore the 7 areas where all successful coaches shine. If you haven't listened to the previous episodes, I encourage you to go back and check them out. Even coaches need to train, and now that we're officially into the basketball offseason, you can treat this 7-part series like your own personal offseason coaching course. Our goal is to add a little more to your coaching portfolio with each episode, and by next season, you'll be ready to shine. This episode is my favorite discussion within the coaching roadmap so far. My brother Brian and I have a phone conversation to talk about consistency. We talk about the importance of being consistent with your mood and your message, and the benefits your team will experience. Being consistent is not easy for coaches. It can be an emotional role. Within this conversation, Brian shares some of his experiences as a head coach of the men's basketball team at Mohawk College and provides some great examples of things you can focus on next season while you're leading your team. Enough from me, let's get right to it. So we've mentioned this notion before that teams mimic their coaches a few times during the basketball coaching roadmap. In this episode, we're going to dive into that a little deeper. Today, we're talking about consistency. In terms of coaching, consistency can relate to a couple of different things, your mood and your message. Even though they're intertwined, let's talk about mood first, Bri. Why is it important to have a consistent mood when you're the coach of a basketball team?
Well, you can kind of turn that question around and ask yourself as a coach, wouldn't you like a consistent mood from your players? I mean, nobody likes a high maintenance guy that comes into the gym every night and you never know what you're going to get. You'd much rather prefer that individual or all the individuals, whatever they are, to be consistent so that you know exactly what you're up against and what you're dealing with. So if that's the preference as a coach for the people you're dealing with, then I would think the people you're dealing with would prefer to have a coach that also was consistent in his mood. So, you know, I think you need to come in with, if you're an extremely positive person, high energy, well prepared. I mean, you have to be consistent every day with those same qualities, so that, you know, when you're having an off day, even that, not necessarily does it filter down, or can they tell that? If you can bring that same energy, enthusiasm, positiveness, preparedness, if that's what you are, and you can bring that every day, regardless of whether your day is a good one or bad, I think your players have a better chance to react positively to whatever you're going to do that day. I think it's important.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, every episode of the coaching roadmap leads to relationship building. And if your mood is inconsistent, it makes it so much harder for your players to trust you day in and day out and know what to expect from you. I believe, and I know you do too, we've talked about this in the past, but consistently modeling a positive behavior is the best way to influence your players.
Absolutely.
How do you keep your mood positive even when you've had a bad day? I mean, it's hard to do, but you have to consciously think of it. Is there any tricks that you have or anything that you do?
I don't know if there's any tricks, but it's just a conscious decision on my part. I mean, you can't let the bad day you might be having outside of the gym affect what you're going to do with that group that evening. I mean, it's not fair to the group. It's not fair to your team, and it probably hinders your progress. So it's not necessarily a trick, but more of just a conscious mindset. And again, I mean, if you turned it around, you wouldn't want your players necessarily to have their bad day affect your practice or affect their improvement or affect the team's improvement. So you need, especially as the adult in the situation and the person who has experience and the one who's supposed to be the leadership or figurehead, you've got to set the tone by doing the right things and being consistent regularly. My biggest coaching mentor, he often had said to me, it's about the process and about what you're teaching and what you're doing, but more importantly, it's about consistently just doing the right thing. And if you can consistently do the right thing, a lot of other things just fall into place. And that goes for players as well as coaches. I tell kids all the time, if you, even though it's a team sport, if you just worry about yourself and about what you're going to do as far as the things you can control, come in and work hard, listen, do the things that's asked of you. If you try and control the things that you can control and consistently do the right things, the process will take care of the results. And, you know, more often than not, 9 times out of 10, the results are going to be positive if you can be consistent in your approach.
Yeah, I think consistency leads to clarity and repetition. It's so much easier to repeat the same thing when you know what's expected of you. And I actually think that that's the most important thing in becoming a good shooter as well. I don't think form has much to do with it at all. If you look at Reggie Miller, Larry Bird, Steph Curry, three great shooters, they all have such drastically different shots. You just need to be consistent with your form. And that leads to clarity in your mind, less thoughts about your mechanics. And you need to repeat that motion as much as humanly possible. And all those lead to a confident shooter. And the same concepts kind of apply to every other skill in basketball. I actually think that that's the best thing about the Carleton Ravens, is that they are consistent. Every single game, it's the same effort, the same, everything is consistent. That's part of what makes them so good, I think. How do you keep your players in a consistent mindset in practice, like as far as effort?
That's complicated. And I look forward, I mean, we're hoping in the fall to have Dave Smart on. That's the ultimate question. I mean, you touched on Carleton or mentioned Carleton. To me, that is the most important or most impressive thing. When I look at the success that they've had, I think it's probably the biggest example we have in Canada right now of the process, taking care of the results. And I think they just obviously demand a certain level of excellence, repetition, focus, intensity, determination, work ethic. All those things are demanded, and it's not for everybody, but for that group, it's obviously demanded of them. And you know, the most impressive thing to me is that they can go out in games that they're expected to win by 40 points, for example, and they'll win by 50. That's the hardest thing. I mean, any of the good teams that I've had, you play inferior opponents and you tend to play down to them a little bit. And, you know, maybe you don't win by the 40 you're supposed to. You win by a comfortable 20 and you walk away and, oh, yeah, well, we won. It's like they don't take a night off from what they're supposed to be doing. And that goes from 1 through 12. So if other guys get into the game in a blowout late in the game, they play with that same energy, enthusiasm, intensity as if it was a tie game and they're starting the game. You know, I think that's the most impressive thing with that program is how consistent they are in the way that they play, and the results speak for themselves. I mean, it's mind-boggling, really. I mean, they don't take nights off.
How do you ensure that your guys are always putting out the same effort in practice?
It's hard, but again, I think it stems from myself, for example. And if I can be consistent in the effort and the enthusiasm that I'm putting into it, you're probably going to get that same back. You know, there are some groups that are self-motivated. There are other groups that have to be pushed a little harder. The groups that have to be pushed a little harder, if I'm not leading or working as hard, then probably we're not going to have a good practice. The groups that are self-motivated, sometimes they can pick me up, and if I'm not having a great practice, they'll bring energy and enthusiasm that lifts my level and forces me to be better. Those are the true teams and groups of people that you can get the most out of. But it's hard. I mean, it's really hard. I mean, when you're dealing with, you know, 12 to 15 athletes, all with varying different things going on in their lives, from school to girlfriends to family issues to some of them living on their own for the first time, all those complicated things, you know, they affect potentially what might happen in the gym for that, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours at night when we're together. So it's not easy. But I think it all starts with the coaches. And if again, they can bring the consistency, then they can potentially expect the same from that group and hopefully raise the level and get that out of them.
I agree. I mean, the consistency leads, it takes practice to be consistent. You're not going to be able to come in and be consistent with your mood as a new coach every single time. It takes practice and it takes a conscious effort and a mindset. And eventually after, you know, years of that or months of that, it turns into a culture. That's what you demand of your players. That's what you demand of yourself. And eventually it's just a culture, and the new players come in and they learn about it a little quicker than they would have.
You're hoping as a coach to build an environment and a culture that's going to be consistent from a year in and year out basis, where one group of kids is passing it on to the newer kids and they understand what it is that you're, what it is to be what your team is, as you go forward. I mean, I'm going to be extremely challenged this year with my group, because I have the youngest group that we have ever had from a recruiting standpoint. You know, it's a fantastic recruiting class that we have coming in, but we're going to be the youngest we've been in years. And it worries me some, and us, you know, the coaches have talked about it. We've got one real veteran left on our group that I would say he's been around 3 years now, and he's a key part of our program. And then we have an extremely talented second year guy. And then we got a couple other second year guys that didn't have big roles last year. And after that, we're really young. We're good, or could have the chance to be good, but really young. So we're hoping that at least the little bit of carryover that we have is able to pass on to the younger group what it is that's expected of them, and the consistency that we need and we've had over the last 6 years to keep this rolling, so to speak, or to have some carryover here. And it's, you know, we're nervous about it, but at the same time, I'm really excited, because I think this younger group is going to invigorate us as coaches and force us to really teach and get after this group to see where what we can become.
So we're starting to cross over a little bit into talking about a consistent message. If you have assistant coaches, for coaches that are out there, perhaps the most important thing is to ensure that you and your assistants have a consistency within your approach to the team. If you expect a certain standard or want things done a certain way, you have to make sure that your assistants are spreading the same teachings. And it can be a powerful message to have multiple voices echoing the same message. More than one message can lead to confusion, frustration. How do you ensure your coaches are all on the same page?
That's tough too, because I've got three assistants at Mohawk, and the four of us are all a little bit different, which is by design, but also it's encouraged. So, you know, it's difficult to sometimes get completely on the same page. But I think we all understand that the voice we have in front of the group needs to be united. So ultimately, they too understand what the message is that we want to convey, and it's got to be consistent. The one thing that I demand really of all of us as a group, the four of us, is a positivity. I like to be positive about everything. Now, I know that the assistants, all three of them probably would prefer that I'm a little bit harder on the guys than I am, but that's not my style and it hasn't been. So I've got to pick and choose my battles there. And sometimes they, you know, their message will be strong in certain cases and I'll allow that to happen because sometimes we need that. But the overall consistency from us as a group is or has to be united, I think, to get the most out of your team. Like you said, you can't have different messages being spread by your coaching staff. I mean, that's just not going to work.
So at the college level, it's commonplace to watch coaches screaming at their players. And one of the things that I've admired most about your coaching style is that you don't focus on the negative for very long. And your players make mistakes and they're allowed to make mistakes. The question I have, well, actually two questions. Is that something that you've always done? And how hard is it to be consistent with the message that mistakes are okay and they won't get you yanked out of the game?
That part of it's not hard at all for me. The consistency as far as allowing the mistakes and guys not looking over their shoulders and, you know, that part of it actually is not hard at all. I mean, that's just the way I've always been in 22 years of coaching. As far as the overall, or if you will, or style or whatever you want to call it, I mean, it's a preferred method for me. I just would rather always focus on the positive than the negative. I'm a glass half full or a glass overflowing kind of guy. I believe that you're not going to change the things that have already happened anyway. So why do we want to spend time dwelling on them, being upset about them so that they turn around and affect maybe the next play that's going to happen? You know, I want to be able to forget that stuff immediately if we can and move on. And I know it's difficult for most people to do that, but I don't really look at it as there being another option. What positive future things can happen from you dwelling on a negative result in some aspect? It's not worth it. You know, I'd rather some guy, if his job's to shoot, I'd rather him to keep shooting, and it's my job to tell him when he's had enough, and you know, you pull him out and talk to him. But I don't want people looking over their shoulder or playing without the utmost of confidence all the time when they're on the floor, and that's the way I prefer it. You know, I'm not going to change. I think I said this to you when we won our national championship. I actually remember saying this to you in a phone conversation that night after we won. The happiest I was because I felt it validated the process that we have and the style of coaching that we have. We don't need to scream and yell at people. We are able to communicate as adults with our kids, so to speak, or young adults. We are able to have two-way conversation. We are able to have differences of opinion, realizing that ultimately we're trying to fight for the same thing. And most importantly, we are able to pat each other on the back when things are going well and pat each other on the back when things aren't going well and say, it's okay, let's move on. All that for me was validated when we won. And to me, I don't think I'll change the way I coach. I like that approach. As a player, I would prefer that. You know, I'd prefer some guy telling me, hey, let's go, always be positive, shoot the ball. If you make a mistake, don't worry about it. You know, that's the way I'd prefer. And so I'm happy to coach that way, and I'm not going to change the way that we do things in that aspect.
So you're lucky enough that you get to recruit for your college team. Obviously, you get to recruit players. Or how much attention do you pay to their behavior and their attitude and the consistency that they have when you're at multiple games of a possible recruit?
It's the first thing I look at, and it's the thing I look at most often. Body language, support of teammates, officials, coaches. I watch the way they interact with all of that stuff. To me, is the most important thing I can recruit. I mean, yes, I want length. Yes, I want guys who can shoot the ball. But when all things are equal, I mean, the most important thing to me is your attitude and your interaction with your teammates and how positive are you. The more positive a person you are, I think the more I and the coaches can work with you. And I also think it lends itself to being a better teammate and having the group, you know, embrace you and be excited to play with and around you. I think I tell kids all the time when I'm out speaking to groups, they ask what I'm looking for. And that's the first thing I always say. I don't want the kid that walks off the floor and, you know, when he subbed out, he pulls his shirt out and makes sure everybody in the gym knows he's unhappy that he got taken out. I don't want the guy that's, you know, looking at the ref sideways every time the whistle blows. I do want the guy that runs over to a teammate and gives him high five for doing something good. I do want a teammate who pats a guy on the back, you know, when he's made a mistake and says, don't worry about it. All those things to me are extremely important. And I look for that very much so. I mean, our program turned around when we started recruiting better people from support at home, interested in school, positive people, good teammates. I mean, it's not a coincidence that when we started doing that, that's when our program took off.
Yeah, I think if you look at, look at the NBA, the Toronto Raptors during the regular season, I'm talking regular season, the playoffs weren't so much, but regular season, they came with a consistent effort. And I think they overperformed. I don't think that they were a 50 plus win team, that kind of talent. But in the NBA, half the battle is trying, is showing up to play. And it made them a better team just because they were ready to go every single day. And San Antonio is the best in the league at that. They show up every single day.
Yeah, and San Antonio, I mean, they're that good because they get that effort out of every guy down the up and down the roster. And every guy realizes that Popovich could call their name at any point in time because he's confident in using every one of those guys, so much so that he might leave four starters home tomorrow night, yeah. You know, and have a completely different group of people out on the floor, and he's okay with that. So they're comfortable in what they're doing. They support each other, and like you said, they give an effort, and they're prepared every night. I like you said to me once, my biggest appreciation for your basketball knowledge, Dan, is that you're a great you see the little things. When you watch people play, you are a very good talent evaluator, but you see the little things. And I thought, you know, this doesn't seem like a little thing, but like you just said, in the NBA, there's so many times you can take a night off, and guys take nights off. I mean, it's 82 games. What the hell, tonight, you know, I don't feel like it, and they mail it in. One of the best observations I thought that you made about someone, you made it about Kyle Lowry, is that he doesn't just play hard every night, which is rare in the NBA, but he gets the rest of his teammates to play hard every night. And I think that's the highest compliment you can pay him as a leader, is that the people around him play hard every night in a league where not everybody plays hard. And like you just said, I think consequently they overachieve, and he's really the leader of effort, if you will. And that's rare from an all-star to play every single night hard. You know, I think it's impressive.
Yeah, it's just the little things that he does. Like when they miss a shot and the big man gets a rebound, he's always underneath that guy trying to strip him. It's like he just puts that little extra effort in, and maybe he'll get one steal a game out of that, but it rubs off on everybody else.
I agree.
So going back to the player thing, how do you control the message within the players on your team? They're together a lot more than just when you're with them. How do you ensure that the messages that they're giving each other are consistent with the culture of your team?
Well, first of all, that goes back to the whole theme of this, is that if I'm consistent in the message, there's a better chance of that message being consistent throughout the group. But the secondary part of this, and we haven't touched on this, is that if you've got your trusted leaders, if you will, a couple of guys throughout the team that, you know, are maybe a little bit older, have been around, understand the expectation, realize the consistency, those are the kind of guys too that you can use to make sure that message is being spread properly. You know, so I can pull a guy aside and say, hey, what do you think about this? What's the group thinking about that? Hey, tonight when you guys are out, think about this, or maybe bring up this around the guys. And And hopefully, you know, using a couple of your guys in that fashion, they almost become coaches and messengers spreading the word and making sure that on a regular basis, the guys are talking about the right things. So, you know, A, I need to be consistent because then it automatically filters. And B, there's nothing wrong with having a couple of your seniors who will do a little of that for you as well.
Bringing a consistent mood and delivering a consistent message isn't always easy when you're a coach, but that's what makes it so important. It not only gives you a leg up on the competition, but it creates a calm, confident team that knows what to expect from you. This episode was brought to you by Audible, the worldwide leader in audiobooks. As a listener to the podcast, you can go to audibletrial.com/coach to receive a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial with Audible. Choose from a wide variety of books to listen to on the go or while you're relaxing. You can show your support for our podcast by going to audibletrial.com/coach to start your free trial. If you enjoyed what you heard, we'd appreciate if you could rate us on iTunes. It really does help. I think this episode is extremely important for coaches to understand. If you know a coach, share this episode with them on social media. Just go to coachcallstimeout.com/11 and click one of the social media icons at the bottom of the article. Our next episode is part 5 of the Basketball Coaching Roadmap. We'll dive into the best way to build a sustainable relationship with your players, or anyone for that matter, being honest. Telling players what they want to hear doesn't benefit anyone. Thanks, and we'll talk to you again in 2 weeks.